Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, and we're on chapter number 11, text number 20. Yeah. So I could do this. Nata. Nartaka. Gandharvaha. Nata Nartaka Gandharvaha. Suta. Magada. Vandinaha. Suta Magada Vandinaha. Gayanti. Chotama Shloka. Gayanti Chotama Shloka. Charitani. Adbhutani cha. Charitani adbhutani cha. Nata nartaka gandharvaha. Suta magada vandinaha. Gayanti chotama shloka. Charitani adbhutani cha. Nata nartaka gandharva. Shruta magada vandinaha. Gayanti chottama shloka. Charitani adbhutani cha. Nata nartaka gandharva. Manavantinaha. Nasloka. Natanya ne bhutani cha. Vaishnavis. Nata, dramatists. Nartaka, dancers. Gandharvaha, celestial singers. Suta, professional historians. Magada, professional genealogists. Vandinaha, professional learned speakers. Gayanti. Chant. Cha. Respectively. Uttama Sloka. The Supreme Lord. Charitani. Activities. Adbhutani. All superhuman. Cha. And. translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all have their respective contributions. Being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, they proceeded on and on. Please repeat. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions. Being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord, thus they proceeded on and on. Purport. It appears that 5,000 years ago, the society also needed the services of the dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, public speakers, etc. Dancers, singers, and dramatic artists mostly hailed from the Sudra community, whereas the learned historians, genealogists, and public speakers hailed from the Brahmana community. All of them belonged to such a particular caste, and they became so trained in their respective families. Such dramatists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and public speakers would dwell on the subject of the Lord's superhuman activities in different ages and millenniums, and not on ordinary events. Nor were they in chronological order. All the Puranas are historical facts described only in relation with the Supreme Lord in different ages and times, as well as on different planets also. Therefore, we do not find any chronological order. The modern historians, therefore, cannot catch up the link. And thus they unauthoritatively remark that the Puranas are all imaginary stories only. Even 100 years ago in India, all dramatic performances were centered around the superhuman activities of the Supreme Lord. The common people would be verily entertained by the performances of dramas, and yatra parties played wonderfully on the superhuman activities of the Lord. And thus, even the illiterate agriculturalist would be a participant in the knowledge of Vedic literature, despite a considerable lack of academic qualifications. Therefore, expert players in drama, dancers, singers, speakers, etc., are required for spiritual enlightenment of the common man. The genealogists would give account completely of the descendants of a particular family. Even at the present moment, the guides in the pilgrimage sites of India submit a complete account of genealogical tables before a newcomer. This wonderful act sometimes attracts more customers to receive such an important information. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmitamena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchukopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. And this is what's happening, the translation again. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. So this is drama. We have some dramatists here amongst us, some actors, some players. And it's fun, isn't it? It's actually spiritual life is fun. It's full of drama. It's full of play. But it's all centered around Krishna. Compared to our modern society, all the dramas and plays and movies and things we see are not centered on Krishna. And therefore, everyone is increasingly going toward the darkness of ignorance. Whereas if one is simply doing dramas and plays and movies and all things about Krishna, they gradually and they automatically elevate their consciousness to light, to spirituality. You see, we're covered over by different degrees of this ignorance. In plant life, it's considered to be like the child, the embryo in the womb. It's covered like that. And then as you go into the animal forms, it's described how it's like a mirror covered by smoke. And then when you come to the human form, it's like smoke. It's like fire. And there's a nice analogy of a kerosene lamp. I don't know if anybody's heard of kerosene lamp these days. Everything's electric. But when you have a kerosene lamp, if the wick isn't properly stabilized and it's not properly burning, the whole glass around it becomes black. So this is what happens when one is not properly situated in his human form of life. If he's finding his fun and entertainment in materialistic things instead of spiritualistic things, he's more and more increasing that smoke of ignorance. And he's becoming more and more degraded. But actually, this culture of drama, plays, and all these things, it's actually in the spiritual world too. They enact these pastimes. And we see even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was on the Rath Yatra parade, there were some really ecstatic verses that were being chanted by his devotees. And it would remind him of Radha and Krishna and his pastimes. In fact, the whole pastime of Lord Jagannath is Krishna coming back to meet Radha in Vrindavan. So when he heard these verses, Lord Chaitanya would start to enact a drama with his hands. And he would like stop the cart. Or, you know, he would stop and the cart would stop. And then they would meet and they'd go back and forth. So even in Lord Chaitanya's time, we had this drama he was explaining. And many of his devotees, they wrote many books on dramatic plays. Very elevated books on Lord Radha and Krishna's loving affairs. We'll read some of those here. We'll just read some comments from those. And then we see even Srila Prabhupada. When he saw the devotees in New York, they were performing this play. I think it was the Ramayana. And Prabhupada was so ecstatic. He was like, yes, this is better than reading the books. You know? And there was other plays. And even Srila Prabhupada said when he was young, he was in a play. And he acted as Advaita Prabhu, who asked Lord Chaitanya to come down. You know, Lord Krishna to come to save the conditioned souls. And he said that it was presented in front of these very elite people, and they all very much appreciated it. Very nice. And they wanted us to perform it all over the place. So, but this takes training. It's not like we can immediately think you can partake in a role without being trained. So this training is very important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, I think they actually rehearsed for a year to get the roles right. So similarly, Krishna consciousness, if we don't follow the basic principles properly, then it's like that flame, it's not burning properly, and then we create smoke in our life, and we can't see properly, our ignorance increases, and we become degraded. So it's very important to be trained properly. That's why we have this sadhana bhakti, you know, to be trained up, so that we can really get a solid foundation. And we know our roles. We know how to act properly in the mature world. And then from there, we'll get this spontaneous love for Krishna. It'll come spontaneously. Just like a good speaker, they say they train for years and years, and they learn all the rules of speaking. Of, you know, how to, you know, start a talk, you know, in the beginning, there's a middle and an end. You know, you tell them what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Something like that. So this is what they learn, these rules, you know, just very, very, you know, it's pounded in their head. And then they finally, they understand. And then it just comes automatic. At a spur of a moment, they could just give a class on something. So this takes expert training. So similar as devotees, we're being trained up in Krishna consciousness, you know, through these understanding Krishna. We're reading about Krishna, and it's so important. So I have some references here talking about this drama. And Prabhupada uses this as an analogy in many different ways. And we're going to go directly to the perfection of yoga. This was in chapter 5, and the chapter is entitled Yoga as Freedom from Duality and Designations. So in the material world, it's full of duality. So we're subject to heat and cold, you know, health and sickness. All these things are there, but Bhagavad Gita says we should tolerate these things. And Prabhupada quotes that verse, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, that a person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. So here Prabhupada brings that point I'm trying to make here, that we can't just like take up this knowledge theoretically, but we have to actually act on it. So that's jnana and vijnana. So Prabhupada says in the purport, theoretical knowledge alone will not help. One has to be able to also apply this knowledge. Similarly, in yoga, one should have not only theoretical knowledge, but practical knowledge. Simply understanding, I am not this body, and at the same time, acting in a nonsensical way will not help. So there it is, we're burning. The flame is burning, but it's creating smoke. So Prabhupada says, there's so many societies where the members seriously discuss Vedanta philosophy while smoking and drinking and enjoying a sensual life. It will not help if one only has knowledge theoretically. This knowledge must be demonstrated. One who truly understands, I am not this body, will actually reduce his bodily necessities to a minimum. When one increases the demands of the body while thinking, I am not this body, then of what use is that knowledge? A person can only be satisfied when there is jnana and vijnana side by side. So Prabhupada goes on, and he quotes another verse from the Bhagavad Gita in that particular chapter. Surin Mitrari Udasina. A person is said to be still further advanced when he regards all the honest well-wishers, friends and enemies, the envious, the pious, the sinner, and those who are indifferent and impartial with an equal mind. That's verse 9 of the 6th chapter. So this is interesting how we have to see, and Prabhupada's given us as here, where he's talking about how we're all acting in these particular roles. So this is what Prabhupada says. One may also see someone as pious and another is sinful according to his own calculations. But when he is situated in transcendence, all of these, friends, enemies, or whatever, cease to exist. When one becomes actually learned, he does not see any enemy or any friend, because in actuality, no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. No one is my father, no one is my mother, etc. We're all simply living entities playing on the stage in the dress of father, mother, children, friend, enemy, sinner, saint, on and on you go. It is like a great drama with so many characters playing their parts. However, on the stage, a person may be an enemy or whatever, but off the stage, all the actors are friends. Similarly, with these bodies, we're all playing on the stage of material nature, and we attach so many designations to one another. I may be thinking, this is my son. But in actuality, I cannot beget any son. It is not possible. At the utmost, I can only beget a body. It is not within any man's power to beget a living entity. Merely by sexual intercourse, a living entity cannot be begotten. The living entity must be placed in the emulsification of secretions. This is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, all the multifarious relationships between bodies are just so much stage play. One who's actually realized and has actually attained yoga no longer sees these bodily designations. There's a nice analogy I heard. Just like, you know, when we see each other, look in the room here. Everybody's got a different type of jacket on. Everybody's got a, you know, different kind of body, actually. Different kind of ear, eye, nose. You know, different thing. Everyone's different. So if we just look in materially, we're going to see so many distinctions. Everyone's different. You're all different. But if you go a little deeper, like not much deeper, but you just look at everybody's organs. Look at his stomach, the kidneys, the liver. They're pretty much all the same. In fact, that's why they could do transplants, liver transplants, kidney transplants. Of course, there's differences, so you have to match pretty nice. But still, there's little differences there, fewer differences. And then if you go deeper, you look on a molecular level, and you see, actually, they're more and more, it's almost exactly the same. You know, these are the 24 elements we're made of. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. We're made of all these things. They're all exactly the same. But yet, somehow or another in this drama, we've taken different dresses and different costumes to think we're different according to our desires. So if you even go even deeper to the atomic level, then we're just practically the same, right? And you could even go deeper to the soul level. And there everyone is actually the same. They all have similar things. And what is the thing that they have similarly? There's two things that basically every soul desires. And that is what? To enjoy and to control. Especially in the mature world. Of course, the living entity by nature is full of joy. That's his nature. That's his natural tendency. And we think we're independent to control, but actually our independence is in serving Krishna. So this is the quality of everyone. We all have these same desires. But we're all trying to do it in a different way, a different mental speculation. So therefore, Krishna creates this whole cosmic manifestation, the universes, with 8,400,000 species, so that you can enjoy in a particular way. You get a particular eye, nose, body. So there's some fantastic bodies you could get to really enjoy. But it's all temporary. But in the spiritual world, we actually really enjoy. That's where real life is. In with Krishna. So that's why we have so much drama and things to actually become absorbed in Krishna. Now, Gawain, there's a nice reference from the first canto. This is in the third chapter, 37th verse. Right in the translation, it says, "The foolish with the poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words." So here, the right conclusion is, Prabhupada says in the purport, that we should dovetail everything in relationship with Krishna. And that's called, you know, if we do that, that's called yoga, right, to link. It's called yoga maya, or the energy of union. But if we have the wrong conception of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, detaching our relationship with Krishna, then that's called the Daivi Maya, or the Daivi Maya, or Mahamaya. This is the illusory energy, you see. But all these mayas, they are both connected with Krishna. So we shouldn't have a wrong conception and try to detach everything from Krishna, because everything is part of Krishna. So similar, we're using drama, play, all these things are in relationship with Krishna. And if you use them properly, there won't be any smoke. The flame will burn properly. So Prabhupada says here, "All this illusory conception is called the reflection of the reality in the darkness of ignorance. Anything that appears as apparently not being produced out of my energy," that's Krishna saying, "is called Maya. There is one Supreme Person who is a progenitor of this cosmic manifestation and whose energy acts as Prakriti, or the material nature, dazzling like a reflection. By such illusory action of Prakriti, even dead matter is caused to move by the cooperation of the living energy of the Lord, and the material world appears like a dramatic performance to the ignorant eyes. So just see here, Krishna is performing his own drama in so many ways. So there's another nice section. This is the 10th canto. This is chapter 50. So this is a very brilliant purport. It's given by the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, who continued the 10th canto. And it was so nice, I thought I'd just read a couple sentences from the purport. So this is Krishna coming. The Lord plays the part of a human being, and expanding his pleasure potency creates thrilling transcendental pastimes full of suspense and dynamic action. By the Lord's yogamaya potency, he appears exactly like a human being, and thus we may enjoy the spectacle of the Supreme Person acting on the earthly stage. And then another sentence. In fact, Krishna executes his pastimes not for a mundane, egotistical purpose, but for our pleasure. Thus, the presentation of spiritual pastimes is itself an act of love that Krishna performs for the infinite spiritual happiness of pure-hearted souls who have transcended material envy of the Godhead. So here again, see the two things we all want to enjoy. So if you really want to enjoy, this is how to do it. This is why we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the last sentence he says, the Supreme Absolute Truth, oh, he quotes from Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur from the Gopala Tapani. The Supreme Absolute Truth for his own purpose appears in a human-like form, although he is the source of everything. So this is Krishna. So we mentioned something about the devotees that made all these dramas for Lord Chaitanya. And there are like many of these devotees, like Rupa Goswami, he did the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which talked about, you know, all the different ways you can experience ecstasy in serving Krishna. And then there's a book called Ujjvala Nilamani, and it's a transcendental account of the affairs of Krishna. They're like metaphors and analogies, and they're very nicely described in this Ujjvala Nilamani. And then there's the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and that's the nectar of Krishna, and then the nectar devotional service. So we're really seeing, and these are all plays that he's writing in this book. And then we mentioned how Lord Chaitanya was doing this drama of the song that he heard with his two arms. And there's a purport there Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Madhya Lila. He said, the mind's activities are thinking, feeling, and willing, by which the mind accepts materially favorable things and rejects the unfavorable. This is the consciousness of people in general. But when one's mind does not accept and reject, but simply becomes fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then one's mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. So in other words, when your mind's completely free from all material desires, and you're only engaged in devotional service, you know, to Krishna, then one always lives in Vrindavan and nowhere else. So just see, in your mind, you could be in the spiritual world if you're completely attached to Krishna. That's the flame burning properly. So he says, unless the mind is filled with thoughts of Krishna, feelings of Krishna, and desire to serve Krishna, the mind will be filled with material activities. Actually, without Krishna, one cannot live, just as a person cannot live without some enjoyment for his mind. You see, this is the tendency of the soul coming through the body. So Prabhupada goes on and on. He talks about this here, and he talks about this drama. And Rupa Goswami, one night he was traveling to this place called Satyabhoomapura, and he had a dream in that village. And while resting, he dreamed that a celestially beautiful woman appeared to him, and he gave him this order. Write a separate drama about me, she said. By my mercy, it will be extraordinarily beautiful. So then he considered, this is the order of Satyabhoma. This is one of Krishna's, you know, concerts in the spiritual world. So he did that, and he made this thing. So he brought it together, and he did all these dramas of Krishna and Vrindavan, and then in Dwarka. So we're reading about Dwarka now, and these dramatists are performing dramas, and they're all related to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Rupa Goswami, so recite the verse from your drama, which upon hearing, it makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away. So just see, this is how the drama is set up to help people get free from all these material miseries. And if anybody knows this verse, we could chant it together. It's a wonderful verse. We used to sing this every morning in Denver, right after, was it Mangal Arti, I think? But it's, Tunde Tandavani Ratim Vitanute Tundavali Labaye Karna Kroda Kadambini Gatayate Karnar Budevya Spriham Cheta Prangana Sangini Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritim No Jane Janita Kiyad Biramritai Krishna Tivarna Dvai. Anybody know the translation? First sentence? I do not know. The holy name is chanted. Yes. I'll read it so everyone can hear. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind. And therefore all the senses become inert. I just see. It's amazing. So anyway, people heard this and they were like amazed. They're like, wow, how does he know how to do, you know, compile verses like this? So he compiled all these plays, Vidagdha Madhava, Lita Madhava, and they're very powerful. And then he quoted another verse, which is very nice. Lord Chaitanya was digging it out of him. And this shows you the importance of these plays. And then Lord Chaitanya says, please recite the introductory verse of the Vidagdha Madhava, so that I can hear and examine it. So this is Ramananda Roy is asking. So this is the verse. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like sikharini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So just so you know. Now Ramananda Roy is trying to break apart the play. And he's telling him, tell me all these different parts. Like, you know, what about this part? Can you describe the description of your worshipful deity? So Rupa Goswami hesitated. And then he finally quoted this verse. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before. The most elevated mallow of devotional service, the mallow of conjugal love. Talk about pleasure. Talk about happiness. So this is there. So it's getting late. And I had, if anybody would like to experience in the Vedabase, there's a whole section on just the dramatic scripts related to Krishna consciousness. So I had two. There was one about the yogi. We thought there's going to be some yogis here today, but I don't see him. And so I picked out this one, the yogi's dilemma. Would you like to hear it? Okay, let's hear it. So there's a cast. The cast is the narrator, the yogi, the rat, the cow, the cat, and the wife, and the child. So here, there's a yogi, he's sitting in his lotus position, you know, they're always absorbed. So he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So he's deep in the forest in Satya Yuga, and he was meditating on Krishna, and he did very simply. All he had, you know, to his name was two pair of underwear. That's all he had. they call them kopans in those days. They had all the, that's all he had. So he would meticulously wash one and put it up on the bush to dry, and the boys were in the other one. So one time he was meditating, and then he heard, you know, something going on, and he noticed that his underwear was gone. So he, you know, said, it's probably a rat that's sneaking up, you know, this roving rat. So he said, okay, I know, by my mystic power, I'm going to conjure up a cat, and that'll keep him away from my underwear. So then he says, Om Namo Cat. And then, you know, they have all these effects, and then this cat comes. And now he goes, okay, now I can resume my meditation. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So then the yogi, all of a sudden, he realized, oh, God, the cat is bugging me. Now he needs food. So now I know I'll produce a cow and feed the cat. So he said, okay, that'll keep the rat away. And that, who wants my underwear? And, I mean, it'll feed the cat, keep my, you know, that rat away. So he says, Om Namo Cow. So then a cow appeared, you know, special effects, lightning flashes and all these things. So then he says, okay, now I can resume my meditation, my practices. And then, you know, what happens? A cow moos very loudly and he nudges the yogi, you know. You know, so it breaks his trance again. So then he goes, oh, stupid I am. The cow now needs someone to milk her so that I could feed the cat and keep away the rat so that I could keep my underwear. And then he says, okay, I know. By my unlimited power, I'll create a wife. And he says, Om Namo Wife. So then a wife appeared, you know, with folded hands. Hare Krishna, how can I serve you? So he said, okay, just milk the cow. So he said, okay, whatever you want, I'll do. And then he returned to his meditation. Okay, my problems are finally solved. Hare Krishna. So then his wife is crying. And he says, what's the matter? You don't love me. So then, you know, she's crying. And he's like, so the yogi's saying, maybe I don't know the extent of my own power. You're just supposed to milk the cow, all right? What do you want? So she goes, you know, like, rock a bye baby. And then he says, sex. I'm a yogi. This is too much. So then the wife cries more and more and more, you know, and she's like, you know, so then he surrenders reluctantly. Okay, so, all right, so leave me alone. By my divine power, I'll create a child. So there he goes again. Om Namo Child. You know, and at last, I can resume my yogic exercises. So then what happens? Daddy, daddy, daddy. You know, I want something. I want this. You know, and then, leave me, child. Wife, take care of the child. You know, so she says, he wants something. And she, what do you want? Well, you're a great yogi. The child needs something to eat. So the yogi's like, oh, God. How can I meditate like this? You know, I have to tolerate all these miseries in mature life. All right, what do you want, my little one? I want a pet. So he has to get him a doggy, and then, you know, it goes on and on. But anyway, so he summons a dog, and then to please his son, to please his wife, so that they can milk the cow, to feed the cat, to keep away the rat, so that he could keep his underwear. You know, so he creates a dog, and then now he has to take care of the dog, wants a bone. The dog bugs him. And then he just says, you know, the baby wants to be fed. It goes on and on. She wants her own meditation mat, you know, made out of tiger skin. And so then the kid wants another dog. And then the yogi's like, enough, enough. Om Namo Scram. So, you know, he just got rid of everything. And then he says, this mature life is too entangling. I was much happier with only two pairs of underwear. So then he resumes his chanting. And then the narrator says, this eternal dilemma, as experienced by the yogi, demonstrates how material life cannot bring real lasting happiness, as all our plans for material enjoyment are frustrated by the temporary and difficult nature of this world. Only when one becomes serious about the higher pleasures of Krishna consciousness can he become permanently relieved from the miseries of this world. And the fully God-conscious persons of the past have therefore accepted and taught the path of simple living and high thinking. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So he's chanting, and again the rat appears. And he just goes, who cares? So like that. So see how important it is. So you know what you hear and what entertainment you get, it molds your mind. You actually become those things. Like if you're watching a movie, you actually become the actors in there, or the hero, or the hero on in the movie. You actually become that, and you experience the emotions of excitement, of happiness, you know, of terror or whatever, or romance. You experience these things. So even they say that sports, when you take up sports, they teach them how to mentally enact the play before they do it. And they say that actually the muscles actually get 3/4 of the benefit of actually doing it. So you see, by watching something, what you listen to affects you and it molds your life. So that's how important drama is and how these stories of Krishna are. And we see the greatest personality in the universe, Swayambhuva Manu. Before he went to bed at night, he would hear the dramas and pastimes of Krishna. And when he got up in the morning, they would be singing the songs about Krishna. And he perfected his life, and he lived for millions of years like that. And even today in Vrindavan, and in some places in India, they would still meet in the evenings and hear about Krishna. They perform pastimes daily. But unfortunately today, I even heard that in places like the holy places of India, they're performing these dramas, but at the same time, they're actually, you know, promoting pornography and so many things. So this is burning, you know, improperly. So anyway, this is our process of Krishna consciousness. Very happy, it's very fun, it's blissful, and we get to go back home, back to Godhead, within our mind, and eventually go there too. So any comments, questions? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Oh, did you?
Oh. Thank you for a nice class.
Thank you, Marsh.
And
you're the dramatist.
The
you're
the poetry.
You're the real dramatist.
The music.
You are the dramatist. Yeah.
No. I just want to make a comment. That story that you just told—it's only half true. I'll explain.
The yogi story? The yogi story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yogi story. He wasn't a real yogi.
I know. We just okay. Yeah, it's
so
a play.
I just want to let the
yeah.
Bogus yogi, because if he was a real yogi, he wouldn't have objected to any of those problems. He would have simply did what Krishna, the supreme yogi, said. Would have. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give, well, you do it for me. And if you do it for me, you'll be freed from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With
sure.
your mind fixed upon me in this principle of renunciation, you'll be liberated and you'll come to me. So if he was really on the true path, he would have simply accepted all this as a loving service for Krishna in what we call Yukta Vairagya, and there would have been no problem. So the real problem is in him and not in the rat or in the underwear or any of the other things. And quite often we blame other things or externals, when really we should blame our own limitations, and those problems will be resolved.
Exactly. We have to take that personally.
Yeah.
It's us, you know, not the things. So I think Bhrigupati or someone else had a question or a comment. Thank you, Marsh.
Just on that point that you made about how what you hear affects you mentally and even physically.
Exactly.
And, it goes beyond that. It actually changes, eventually it changes the language.
Yeah,
it changes
the culture.
And I'll give you an example of that, okay? Because when I'm on, I don't watch TV, movies, or anything like that. So when I hear something different, I pick up on it. Like, I never heard the expression up until about maybe 5 to 10 years ago. Let me see the, you know, when somebody wants something from you now, they don't say, can I have the pen or can I have the book? They say, let me see the, just a subtle thing. But, you know, or another example of that is, like when you approach somebody on Sankirtan to ask them for, you know, to try to get them to take the book, they'll say, I wasn't trying to buy a book today. I mean, no, it's a total new way of expressing the thought. I mean, somebody would say, no, thank you. I really don't want.
Hmm?
It's just, you know, it's the language changes.
Yeah.
So basically what it is it must be somebody on television, some actor on television or something like that has just said it in a certain way. People see that and everybody starts saying like that and behaving like that person.
Yeah.
And so the language changes and the whole culture changes because there's certain values embedded in the, and you know, the way those people behave when they're on the screen or something like that. And people see that and they just ape those. You know, they just mimic the language, they mimic the mood, and the whole culture changes gradually as a result of that.
Yeah, there's a really nice thing I found. You know, the devotees in L.A., they were writing to Prabhupada. I don't know if he was here then, but they were telling Prabhupada, you know, you're working hard day and night to write these books, and all the devotees are working night and day to distribute them. So Prabhupada says, yes, I am writing the drama, and they are playing on the stage. So this is so important that we have to actually, we have to hear like participants in the play, but we also have to be producers. So we have to go out there and actually change, like you're saying, the culture. We have to change it to Krishna culture. And the Krishna culture includes, you know, the devotees, the how we, you know, we get along, how we act, appreciate, and we're learning how to do this by seeing the pastimes of Krishna and hearing them. So important. Is there any other comments or realizations, questions? So thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Thank you.